So today I'm sitting with Brandon Fuchs, the number one contractor coach and founder of Elite Builder Society, a community that has helped over 150 contractors increase profits, land high-ticket projects, and build systems at scale. Brandon has spent over 20 years in the contracting and coaching space, helping builders double or even triple their revenue while working less in their business. In this episode, we'll dive deep into the biggest mistakes holding remodelers back from massive growth, the exact strategies top contractors use to scale past seven figures, how to systemize your business so it runs without you being in the weeds, and how you can start seeing results today. If you're serious about your business growth, this is an episode you can't afford to miss. So let's dive in. So first things first, thank you, Brandon, for hopping on. I'd love to tell the audience a bit more about you and your business.
I appreciate it, Dan, connecting with me and just, you know, bringing me onto the show. Like Dan was saying, I'm the self-proclaimed number one contractor coach. I've been in the industry for a long time, and there was a point in my career where I felt like no longer those fancy projects got me excited, which is kind of weird to say, but what really started to get me excited was working with contractors and changing their lives. And so, you know, I've heard it time and time again that if you help somebody else, it's the best feeling you can possibly have. And that's true. And it's the same thing why contractors primarily, you know, they also work with clients. They like to transform spaces and help clients. So it's similar. It's just, you know, now I'm focused on helping contractors with everything I've learned.
That's awesome. So what was your experience in the contractor space before getting into the coaching space?
So I started actually as an industrial carpenter, working in gas plants, doing forms and scaffolding and a few other things like that. And to be quite honest, it just wasn't my vibe. Like I became a superintendent really young. I was managing hundreds of people, really wasn't getting the respect because I was a young guy managing these old guys. And they're just like, who's this young kid coming in here kind of, you know, doing all this. And that wasn't the problem. It's just, I just didn't feel comfortable there. Like I was like, this is not my place, but I learned a lot through that process and I made a ton of money. And that's where I kind of, you know, was really a bit, you know, hesitant on leaving because the money was great. But the workflow was inconsistent and I was on the road. So I ultimately left and decided to go on my own. And I went on my own. And I went from making a ton of money, nothing, very quickly, because I was not a business owner. And I had no idea what business was, honestly, no, not a freaking clue. I had a few projects, you know, friends, family, like typical contractor, they get work from their friends and family and close loved ones. And then all of a sudden it's like that dried up. Now what? Now I got a market. And I'm like, I don't want to market. And then you start listening to all these other people and they're telling you, and you know, your other friend's dad, that's a business owner, tells you how to market this. And he doesn't actually own a construction company. So what, everything he's saying, I don't know this, but everything he's telling me is wrong. And then the other guy that owns a restaurant, he's telling me how to market my business. And I'm just listening to him. Everything he's saying is wrong. And so I'm implementing all these wrong strategies for a long time, thinking that it's me. I'm thinking it's me that's the failure here. I'm the one who's screwing all this shit up. And it wasn't. It was ultimately the fact that I was being fed the wrong information. And so I did that for like 10 years. I would wake up, I remember consecutively for like, I don't know how long. It might be months, it might be years. 3 a.m., stressed out, no idea where my next check was coming from. Like my pay was cut 90%. So from working at the refinery, you know, at the gas plant, to going on my own, 90%, basically. And my family had no idea we were broke. Like we were completely broke. Still had to pay the bills, still had to do all these things. So I wake up at 3 in the morning, puke bile consecutively every day.
Yeah.
And look at the mirror and wonder what am I doing? Like not suicidal thoughts, but like, It was shitty. Like it was dark. And it was only because I was trying to do something I didn't know how to do.
Yeah.
I could build anything, but I was trying to run a business. I didn't know how to run it. And I didn't want to fail because I'm a man, right? So men are like this dominant force that are like, ah, I got it. You know, and at the end of the day, it was like, shit, well, that just that just wasn't enough. Like that, this wasn't enough, you know? And so finally, along the way, I found a mentor, not really in construction, but kind of closer, a little bit better, and gave me a couple ideas. And I went with those and they started to work. And then I started to understand it a little bit. And then I started to really dial in on the psychology of the client. And so I did that for a while. I started several companies. I probably had about 10 different companies, exited out of some of them. Some of them didn't work, so I shut them down. But I've been on my own for over two decades. The first, you know, decade wasn't pretty, but once you get it, you get it. And so, I've managed, like I said, in the industrial space, you know, large commercial project or industrial projects throughout to residential multi-million dollar renovations and builds, moving into, you know, commercial projects that are also multi-million dollar commercial projects. So I've done a lot of things. I've managed a lot of people, and I got to a point where it was like, you know what? I know what I'm doing, and I got this shit down to a science, Like I can walk into a room. My confidence is not egotistical. It's just confidence. Yeah. I can walk into a room, 100 people, 100 other contractors on the floor. One client walks in the room. There's one job. I will walk out with that job.
Yeah.
And the only reason that's my mindset is because that's how it has to be. If you are not a warrior when the opportunities come about and you know, go and get that project without thirsting for it, like without, you know, it's saying you have to use me because of X, Y, and Z. It's like, no. Like, that's not how it is. So I've done a lot of shit in my lifetime. And I don't know if I can swear on this, but
no, you're good. So it sounds like you've had like an incredible story. And I think one of the biggest takeaways from your story that I just heard is you had a mindset switch and you were able to kind of go and scale. Whereas most contractors, as I'm sure you know, and I know, they don't really ever have that switch where like they're stuck at that six figure mark. So what would you say is like the biggest mistake contractors make when trying to scale, or what separates the contractors that do scale and are able to go hit that $1 million mark versus the ones that are always just the chuck in a truck, just kind of doing their thing and making about 100K a year?
Yeah, it's a lot. This is not like a simple recipe.
Yeah.
Okay? It is not. It is a very scientific combination of very particular executions that will set you up for success. And there are stages, like there's levels to this shit, and you need to start at level one and look at level two. Don't go to level two until you understand how to get there. But essentially what it is, you start as, what'd you call it? Chuck in the truck?
Yeah, chuck in the truck.
Okay, yeah, you start as chuck in the truck and you focus on delivering value for your clients in that moment. So you over deliver, over communicate. You pick up your phone. Don't avoid the uncomfortable call. Like, oh, they're mad about the work that I did. Just fucking pick up the phone. You have to deal with things head on. Otherwise you're already failing. If you can't deal with problems in real time, this isn't the business for you. This is a contractor, a general contractor is about problem solving, especially as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, it's about problem solving. How quick can you get from the problem to the solution before it's something else? Because that's how quick it happens. If you don't solve the problem, it becomes something else. So over deliver for your clients. And then when you get to a point where you've perfected that, right, that's when you would start to look at what is the next move. And you'd hire a virtual assistant or, you know, an assistant. Everybody wants to just hire guys. Like most chuck in the truck, their first instinct is, I got to go hire a bunch of guys in order for me to start, you know, to start being a real contractor. And it's like, no, Chuck, you don't. You have to hire businesses. You have to align yourself with businesses that magnify who you are. So, you know, just like you, I am not a website guy. So you hire a website guy. I am not a drywaller. So you hire a drywaller. I am not a tiler, so I hire a tiler. Why do you do this? Because these professionals provide a better experience and a better end result for your client. So as you're growing your business, stop thinking that Chuck in the truck has to solve all the problems.
Yeah.
Chuck in the truck actually has to figure out how to give the problem to somebody else and take a little bit of the profit from that problem solution. I mean, there's no straight line, but the goal is exceed client expectations, grow your business with business owners versus doing it all yourself right from the beginning.
Yeah, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. And there's a bunch of things in there that I want to dive into. But the first one would be like client experience, because like I'm a big believer in that with our company, and I know you are a big believer in that too. What do you think the top people that are doing client experience and talking to their clients are doing differently than the bottom ones? Because I know a lot of contractors, whenever they sign on a client, they don't really want to talk to them afterwards. Whereas like we know that like client experience doesn't just stop at the start of the sale. It goes through the whole project, and providing an amazing client experience kind of goes into a bunch of different realms. What do you notice like the top guys do versus like the normal or average contractor?
Well, the top guys that are focused on their client's experience are doing one thing really, really good. They understand that the most powerful form of marketing is word of mouth. And what they do is they magnify it across every platform. So you take a good experience and you successfully put that on a social page. You put it as a post. You activate your client as, you know, an incentive where it's like, hey, give me a Google review. I'll pay you for it. Hey, can you refer me to your friends or your loved ones or other people while I'm on site? I'll pay you for it. Hey, you know, if you post about me while I'm on site, you know, doing all this work, I'll pay you for it. The reason you want to activate your client is because your client is the closest person to the next opportunity. And so word of mouth. So the good contractors that are doing good understand how to magnify the experience that they're delivering to their client. Because why would you invest all of this time, energy, and resource in just one customer? What if the one customer brought you five more every time? And that's the system. The guys that are not doing it good are going from job to job to job, worrying about the next job, needing the job to pay their bills. And it's like, we know you have bills. Those are things that are never going to go away. But that client that you are there, you take high quality photos, you communicate with the client, you demand a Google review, you demand them to refer you, do all this stuff. And you have to do that. Because if you do not do that, then you just got this job and you did nothing. Like you got nothing out of it. So that is the difference between the guys who are doing great. I teach this all the time. And there are very specific things about how you articulate the experience right from the moment you pick up the phone. And it's like, hey, Sally, how's it going today? You know, and Sally's looking to do this renovation or this build or whatever it might be. That is the moment from there all the way. The client journey doesn't end. It's not year one. It's not from one project. It is indefinite. You work. You're investing time, energy, and resource in finding customers that are forever, not for one job.
Yeah, I think if you're listening to this, that's a huge takeaway right there of something that you can start implementing in your business today. Because that is, I wholeheartedly agree with that. Like if you're providing great client experience, you'll just continue to get amazing referrals and people refer you all the time. Brandon, like what else would you see that successful contractors do for marketing? Because a lot of guys solely rely off of word of mouth. And that's all the marketing that they do. And I'm sure you can understand that you need a bit more than word of mouth to really scale up. So what do you see like the top guys doing in their fields?
Well, again, like I said, they're taking the word of mouth and they're magnifying it.
Yeah.
Like you got to take the success of the last client to get the next client. And so, I mean, if it were up to me and I got a job, I had an opportunity, right? So I'm starting from zero, but I got one job because all of us have gotten one job. Did we pull out our phone? Did we take photos? Like literally, like my one job would be a movie set. It would be like balls out. We would have two phones. I would do a time lapse. I would have a guy taking photos and videos. I would be creating so much content that I can use that for the next 30 to 60 days. And I won't make it look like I'm on one site. I'll make it look like we've got lots of different sites going on. I'll make it, you know, kind of like focused shots of like somebody working, person in the picture. Hey, you know, like all these little things. I would be doing that kind of stuff. But I would also make sure that my client's activated and they're in it. And you can do all this with one job. So like if you include that with your marketing, if you include that with the content that you're posting, you could do a boosted campaign and say, hey, look what we did for Sally. You know, Sally's given us a 5-star Google review and we just completed this you know, incredible project. Here's the after photos. You know, like what contractors really, really fail with is understanding that they have to pull up their phone. Like what a lot of them say, oh, I'll get most of my work from word of mouth, but I don't have any work in my pipeline. And it's like, oh, how many clients have you worked with? Like I'm not trying to sewer anyone, but I have a contractor in my community that I've been working with for about a month. He's got so much work in his pipeline now. And I said to him, I was like, hey, how many jobs have you done this year? He's like, over 100. I was like, how many Google reviews do you have? He's like, 7. I was like, you have 7 Google reviews and you've done 100 service calls?
Yeah.
You should have hundreds of service Google reviews. What do you think it looks like when the guy that has all these Google reviews stands next to the guy that has nothing? It's not easy.
No.
Immediately, it's a game changer. So word of mouth is great. If it's a referral-based job, that's great. That means you should be getting a Google review, and you shouldn't be leaving until you get one. And I don't care if they don't know how. Sign them in. Help them figure it out. Like, this is your business, and your success stands between you and doing the things that other people aren't willing to do. Always.
Yeah. No, I wholeheartedly agree with that, too. Kind of switching gears a bit, but how do you – or let me figure out the best way to phrase this. What do you notice the top guys doing with handling price objections and selling high-ticket projects with a kind of confidence versus like the guys who are struggling with that? Because I find that a lot of contractors will just lower their prices if they get some pushback, whereas their pricing's right. It's just they're not able to handle the objections correctly. So do you find oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I got this one. So the guys who are successful have a strategy. They have a script. They have a roadmap. They have an SOP on the client journey right from beginning to end and where they implement the price and how they implement the price and what does the price look like? What does that language look like and where is it placed and what do we do in reaction? They have a strategy. And when the strategy doesn't work, they refine it and they make changes. The guys who are failing are just going into everything with their ego. Oh yeah, I got this. I pull up to Sally's house. You know, Sally wants to do a deck. I just talked to her about how amazing I am. Oh, Sally, I'm the best contractor in the planet. You lucked out today. You know, I'm here to help you through your project. And it's like this girl's terrified. She's like, yeah. Who the hell is this guy? First off, your truck's, you know, disaster. You smell like cigarettes. You haven't brushed your teeth in a week. I mean, that guy's not getting the job. Right? At the end of the day, he's just not getting the job. I don't care how many friends told you that you're great. You're not great. Right? Like the client has they have layers of objections about working with you. And sometimes most people don't understand. They're like, why am I not getting any calls? It's like, well, you're not marketing yourself correctly. And so your client has these layers of objections that they've got there before they even pick up the phone to call you, right? Before they're even calling you, they're already canceling out. So if you're lucky to get a call and then you go there to site and you get more of these objections that are existing without you knowing, you're failing. The guy who's doing a great job has a strategy and he's refining his strategy based on his wins and losses. You have to track the data.
And that's a huge part right there. Cause a lot of guys don't track the data. So like you ask them their conversion rate or how many sales they're going and they're like, oh, out of every 10, I close 10. And I'm like, really? Like, is that a factual statement there? Like, that's impossible. So tracking the data is really, really important because whenever you do that, you're able to see like the improvements. It's like, all right, well, my conversion rate's actually like 5%. That's a terrible conversion rate. So then you can work on improving that. Do you do any like role playing or do you see guys role play with each other for sales in the contracting field?
Yeah, I love role playing. I try to role play with guys all the time. They don't get it, right? Again, the ego comes into play. I don't know. And looking back, like, to be quite honest, I don't know how I would have reacted to what we have right now for contractors in our community. Would I be open? Would I like be like comfortable and like, yeah, dude, let's role play. Like, what do you mean role play? Yeah. You know, they're thinking a sexual conversation. It's like, no, dude, this is not sexual. Get your head out of the gutter. It's literally you're Sally and I'm you, or vice versa. No, but we do role play in there. And I think that really helps. Like, basically the way I do the role playing with people is when we're on our one-on-one coaching calls, I'll get that. They're like, oh, I lost this job. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, run through the process. Like, what happened? And then they'll explain like how it went and, you know, what their objection was. And I'll just get them with like this knowledge. Yeah. And I'll just say, this is how I would have dealt with it. And they're just like, shit. That makes total sense. Why wouldn't I have thought of that on the fly? How do you think of that stuff on the fly? It's like, it's just repetition.
Yeah.
And it's just confidence and having a system. That's the only thing it is. It's just a little bit of a system. And I don't read off a script or anything like that. I just have a flow of I have a system, right? I build rapport. I'll put a bit of a deck in front of the client for them to review while we're on site, measuring, gathering information. They'll rip through the deck. They'll see some photos, scan a little QR code, look at all this stuff. And they're like, oh, this guy's got his shit together. Like, he's organized on site. I'll pull up my phone. I'll do a full video scan. I'll be talking. So I have all this data. I'll transcribe the whole video, put it into AI, get AI to describe, like basically extract all the description of the work that we're doing, build that into the estimate. Like, it sounds busy, but it's not. It is showing your client in that moment that this guy knows what he's doing. And they're like, holy shit, this guy's locked in, sits down, asks us to sit down. I'm the authority figure in the room, right? I sit them down. I say, okay, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to build out my estimate. I'm going to get this over to you on this day. I tell them exactly when the estimate's coming. Because other contractors can't do that. They say, oh, I'll send you something in a couple of weeks. It's like, no. I schedule a meeting with them on the day that I'm going to put that estimate in front of them or proposal. And then it's just a surface level one. It's not detailed. For them to get a detailed proposal from me, they have to pay. And I charge $5,000. Any job over like $200K or $100K, it's $5,000 for them to get to go to the next stage. That disqualifies people that don't want to work with me. And I've only invested 30 minutes of my time with somebody that maybe either wants to or doesn't want to work with me.
Yeah, and I find that a lot of the most successful contractors that we work with, they charge that same thing too, where it's like $300 for them just to go look at the job. And if people aren't willing to pay that, then they're probably not your ideal clients, and then you're able just to disqualify them right away.
To add to that, I would be cautious with depends where you are. Like, you got to travel, you got to spend lots of time driving around. But if you're if you're sitting on the couch doing nothing,
yeah,
go to every job you can, because it is reps. It is, whether they're good or bad, it is still a rep for you to learn how to improve your rep, right? And it's an opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about yourself. So I don't love charging to go to the job for the first proposal. I believe that we never know who we're dealing with on the other side of the phone or on the computer. I've had clients that called me and they're like, hey, would you come do, like, literally, hey, would you come convert my office for my son? It's his birthday, 16th birthday. We really want to do it. We're flying away to Phoenix and we need it done by Monday. Unrealistic pile of garbage, right? Like, yeah. A small little shitty job, kind of annoying, crazy expectations. If you threw all that stuff out, you'd be like, no, I'm just looking to get this done, right? That client has paid me millions of dollars because I did that one job and it turned into millions of dollars worth of work. So you just never know who's on the other end of the phone. It's always worth either sitting on the couch or doing nothing, right? Manage your time effectively. You're not doing anything and you can afford to go look at people's houses. The more reps you get, the better, in my opinion.
I love that. And I agree with that too. One of the things you had mentioned earlier was AI and some of the tools you guys use. What are the tools that you guys are using or your contractors are currently using in their businesses?
Well, a lot. I am all about AI, like to the point where my son's school hates AI, hates it. They're like, yeah. You can't, it's cheating. And I said, what do you mean? How is this cheating? This is an advanced, it's like somebody invented fire. And you're telling me that I can't use fire to make myself smarter, more efficient, more, you know, like more educated.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to learn. So I've had some resistance from his school, and it's motivated me to build like an education platform. So I actually have my own custom GPT platform inside of my community that our contractors actually run through our education platform with. I'm not going to lay out all the details on that because we've got some IP launches and a few other things that are super excited that I haven't shared with you yet that are coming out. But like, if I was a contractor, here's what I would do. I would, if you've got a couple jobs, a little bit of cash flow coming in, I would download JobTrack. JobTrack's construction management software. It's great. I've talked with Eric, the CEO, several times. They are integrating everything. I would onboard CompanyCam. CompanyCam uses the camera, scans the area, this creates all the descriptions, helps with that. I would take video recordings of the space that you're working on. I would explain what we're doing, right? Explain it. Helps with your speech, helps with your presentations, helps with all that stuff. So it helps you in as a person. You transcribe the video. You transcribe the video, right? Into ChatGPT, you take the description, the transcribed audio, and you ask it to build out a proposal for this project. Shit, you're learning stuff right now too, right?
Yeah.
Then you take this transcribed audio script that's been built, and you break it down, and then you put it into JobThread, build a proposal, send it to your clients. And the cool part is, you don't even need to do all this because you can have a VA in the Philippines take care of this for nothing, and soon you will have a AI VA help you do all that stuff. It's just basically a bunch of zaps. So what are we doing with AI? Everything that we possibly can.
I love that, and I love JobThread too. We're JobThread partners, so no free sponsorships. This is separate from our partnership with JobThread. But no, that's everything that Brandon just went over. Implement it right away. If you're not using AI in your business, you're already behind. Whether it's automations or just doing the simple things that he just mentioned, it will help you be light years ahead of your competition. And one of the most interesting things I think you just said was...
You can even add to that. Sorry to interrupt you, but you can even add to that. Like, if AI overwhelms you, like it does for a lot of the guys that I've worked with, I literally tell them, download ChatGPT, get the paid version right off the bat. Like, I'm paying a lot of money every month for AI right now, but like I'm moving at the speed of sound or light or something like that. But I'm like, just ask it stuff. Like, you don't even understand what it's capable of doing. Like, you could say to it, you could say, I live in, where are you from, Dan?
Philly or Philadelphia.
Okay. So I own a construction company in Philadelphia in this specific area. Tell me how many people live in a dual income, you know, neighborhood around me. Like, literally, you can ask it to do anything. How many of these people, have salaries over 100,000 plus? Where would they be specifically? Like, you could also ask it, you know, how many McDonald's are there in the United States? You could literally ask it anything. I think what's really cool about AI is that, you know, my daughter doesn't like AI. She thinks it's cheating.
Yeah.
Because her teachers are telling it's cheating and her mom tells her it's cheating. And so I say it's not. And so she's against it, which is horrible. And my son's like, no, man, teach me. And so I tell him how to prep to use it. And he's like, I pull this stuff out in class and the teachers are mind blown because they don't even know what we're doing. And all it is prompting. You just have to get really good at prompting, but you just have to start somewhere. Ask it for a recipe for the most delicious loaf of bread ever, and it'll literally print it out and it'll be good. I promise you. So
Yeah.
I interrupt you, but just starting is the most important part to it.
Yeah, the recipes are always good. I use those too. So trying to fit in macros for my life. So one of the things I wanted to just circle back on before I move on to the other stuff is virtual assistants. So you don't really see those used in the contracting space at all. And I think it's a very big gap. And I think it's a huge, because it's cheaper than hiring domestically. So how are you guys using VAs in your businesses, and what are the results that you guys are seeing with them?
Yeah, it's a freaking cheat code, yeah. Right? It is a cheat code. How do I explain this? You're building a 6 or 7 figure business, okay? 8 figure, whatever it might be. What does that require? Communication, administration, data entry, control, metrics, all these things. And so who are you going to get to do that? An employee, right? And they come into work at 8 o'clock and they complain about, how this and that and the other things are happening. And they got to stop. Oh, shit. Sorry. I was stuck in the drive-thru. I had to get my coffee. And, I've got this, that, and the other thing going on. Oh, I'm on mat leave. And, oh, I got this. And, oh, I got that. And all these things are happening, right, with an employee, especially in the admin space. And so we devalue them. They're the most important, but we devalue them and we don't pay them as much as we need to pay them. But we really need them, right, as contractors. And so I get all of my contractors at some point when it fits to onboard a VA, and they help organize their life. And they do it for next to nothing. And you're running this lean machine. Now, all of a sudden, your efficiency and your optimization of your business has spiked up, but your cost per service is staying lower. Like it's almost like you can create more efficiency, right? And then your op costs are not climbing with it. They're flattening out. And so what we do is we teach them how to utilize this. I have one contractor that we helped. He's been in business for 2 years, his first year of business. He did 130,000. This is a crazy success story.
Yeah.
130K. Him and his brother, family business. Okay. They're in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Smaller community, 200,000 people in the community. 130,000 first year. They've been working with me for 8 months. They currently have $2.5 million on their book, and they have 4 VAs.
Yeah.
I literally have goosebumps. It's so freaking crazy. And here's the craziest part. Their profit margin is almost over 30 points, like on their projects, because they're so lean. It's so lean. They're executing things. They got AI optimizing things. So it's like they just can do more work more efficiently. And they also don't do the work. They sub all the work out.
Smart.
So it's other businesses doing all the work.
Yeah.
And this was a concept that they were like, what do you mean? Like, no, we want to be contractors. I want to bring out my hammer and start banging the wall. And I told them basically go to your chop saw that you bought, right? And take the hammer and chop it, cut it, throw it away, never pull it out again.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that we're noticing and we're seeing with VAs. It's like, you can just run more efficiently, more lean. One of the guys that, I don't know if you know Doug Mitchell, he's a sales, he's one of our sales educators in the community, but he runs a VA firm, or not a VA firm, sorry. He runs a podcast kind of side hustle company.
Okay.
And so his VA, he pays her $1,000 a week. She's out of the Philippines. Okay. $1,000 a week is a lot of money. But most VAs you're paying $4 to $6 an hour. And they're working 20 to 40 hours a week. But he pays her $1,000 a week. They've been working together for 4 or 5 years. Now, what do you think $1,000 a week really, really means to her?
That's everything over there.
it pays for her parents to survive, pays for her nephews to eat and go to school, pays for her brothers and sisters to eat. What do you think she's willing to jeopardize to go get a coffee in the morning and not to be efficient? She shows up every day on time, ready to work. And that's why VA is better, because they have more to lose, right? They're not I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but they're not at the bottom of the barrel of the service service platform. They are, it's the survival, and they're educated people. It's great. So, I mean, I love it. I think VAs are the way of the future. And I mean, in addition to that, like our VAs integrate AI so they can get more efficient. Imagine if you took somebody that's $4 an hour and you gave them Fire and you said, hey, you're going to use Fire to integrate yourself to create more efficiency. You get it? And now this person's literally worth like $200 an hour.
Yeah. And I think a big thing that a lot of people get held up on is like, you're going overseas for talent. But like, if you look at like Apple and Microsoft and all the Nike, all the big companies, like they do most of the work overseas. And then they just have people in offices over here. So I think if you're not integrating, especially AI and especially VAs in your business, you're same thing falling behind because it is the future and it is the way that the world is going. A big thing that I wanted to discuss with you, because you're killer in it, is how does your mindset and habits impact how you grow your business? And what are some things that you notice that the most successful guys are doing in the space?
Well, I got two things for this. The term simple scales, complex fails is everything. So the more simplistic you make everything, the more probability that it has for success. If you make it complex and hard to digest, it could fail. You're basically trying to educate people. It's really hard. So every decision that you make, every SOP you create, simply, just make it simple. Okay, so that's the first thing. The second thing is how you do one thing is how you do everything. And at the end of the day, that will always exist. If you don't eat healthy, you don't go to the gym, you don't take care of your body like a temple, you don't, you know, believe in God or whatever you might have to do. If you don't take care of yourself, how are you able to take care of other people at the end of the day? So if you want something over here, you need to look at yourself first and take care of that before you can provide that to somebody else. So those two things resonate together. Make it simple. It will scale. Take care of yourself and others will follow along with that.
That's awesome. So, and I'm agreeing with that too, because that's what I've been working on my health a lot lately and eating cleaner. Cause like how you do one thing is how you do everything. And, a person, I was just at a conference in Miami and, one of my friends, Luke, he had put it to me that like the way it ranks for him is like faith, family, health, and then business. Like he has so many other things before business where as for the longest time it was business and then family and then faith and then health. So I think you got to really organize your priorities and kind of where you're going with everything. But business should always come after yourself and health and family.
What about this? What if it was integrated, right? What if you could have all of that? What if you could have all of your faith, your family, your health, your wellness in your business?
Yes.
Right. If you can do all of that with business and you can become a monster and really dive into your business, really incorporate, you know, your health and wellness into your business, professing that on everyone around you. You look at Andy Elliott. He has armies of people that come to his, you know, his sales camps. They're out there doing freaking workouts in Arizona, sweating their ass off, and he's screaming at them because it's a part of his life. His family's there at work with him. It's a part of his life. He talks about his faith at work because it's a part of his life. He professes who he is on other people because that is a part of his circle. If he had to separate business from life, then he can only give a percentage of his time to his business.
Yeah.
But now he can give 100% of his life and his time to his business. And so I agree with what you're saying with, you know, organize yourself effectively, but you can build it to be full circle and give it everything 100% of your time.
And that leads actually perfectly into my next question. So how has the Elite Builder Society helped contractors transform their business and lives?
Dude, we're just getting started here. Like, you know, I got 50 contractors that I coach right now, one-on-one. I just brought on two more. I'm not going to call them. No, they're going to be coaches. We're going to call them coaches. I was trying to figure out a fancy name the other day. I was like, oh, we're going to call them like warlords or something. I didn't really know what I was going to call them, but we brought on two more coaches. We have, you know, a handful of educators, handful of systems. What it's done for people is it's 10x their business and not financially, just it's projected them to that to be in that position. Imagine, like, I don't know how to fish. I'm not gonna lie. Maybe you can fish. Maybe you can teach me how to fish. I don't know how to fish at all. Couldn't even freaking tell you what to do. And so that's what contracting is like. You go out there and try to fish. Goals, catch a fish, right? That's the goal. Got a rod. I don't know what kind of rod to get. You get a rod, throw it in the water. You hope that you're going to catch fish. Then you don't even know what kind of fish you caught. Contracting is very similar. And so, you know, what we've been able to do is teach people exactly how to fish for sharks. For them to understand how to fish for sharks. Imagine if you went out there and Buddy comes up and he's been fishing for 3 or 4 years and he doesn't even really know what he's doing because he just keeps trial and error, doing all this shit. It's all screwing up. It's not working. And so he's found. But you come out there with a spear and you, boom, just throw this freaking spear out in the ocean, yard in a shark, bring it in. And the guy's like, wow, how'd you do that? How long have you been fishing for? I actually just started a year ago. Yeah. Oh, well, how do you know how to fish for sharks? Well, because I got this badass group of mentors teaching me. Oh, well, who's the group? Oh, okay, boom. And that's literally what we're doing for people. We're teaching them how to not be the guy sitting on the dock with a $2 reel trying to figure this shit out. We're teaching the guy that wants to provide for his family and to build his manhood. We're teaching them how to freaking hunt for sharks.
Yeah, and that's awesome. What I know you dropped one earlier, and that was amazing. Do you want to share any other success stories from the contractors you've worked with in the group? You don't have to drop any names.
Yeah, no. These calls, honestly, they get emotional. I'm emotional right now every time I talk about it. Emotional because the impact is so significant. One of the contractors in the community, he's been in business for as long as I have, nearly 2 decades, maybe a little bit longer. And he's just like really struggled with wanting to invest in the program. And I was like, dude, he was dealing with some family health issues. Like things were going on all around him. And he's like, dude, I got my medical bills, like all these things going on. I just don't have the money. And I'm like, you gotta take a chance. Gotta take a chance. I promise you, I'll do everything I fucking can to help you. Pardon my language, but I'm when I'm passionate about something, I'm passionate. I literally, like, I am on the phone with some of these guys every day, trying to help them. They have access to me. They text me. I'm not some fake guy that you gotta book one call with and call it a day. I literally devote my life to making them successful. He's been in the community for 4 months. He has more work than he's ever had in his life, in his pipeline. He is no longer doing the work himself because that's what he was originally doing. He's laid his whole crew off. He's leaned his entire machine, onboarded project software like JobThread, onboarded a VA, and he just went on his first freaking vacation with his wife.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a
huge... So, I mean, him and I just had a call yesterday and he sends me very, very compassionate, you know, appreciative text messages after our calls. They're emotional. Like I get teared up because it's like, we're literally taking a guy who's been doing this same thing for 20 freaking years. And in 4 months, we're saying, dude, stop doing this shit this way. You need to go this direction. Okay, man, I'm just going to trust you because, like, I'm ready to give up 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to try it out. And he's like, I can't freaking believe it. I didn't lift my hammer today. Yeah. And I made more money than I've ever made in my life. And so, yeah, I mean, there's stacking success stories with the people that put in the work. You know, like, it's like getting a gym membership, not going to the gym and expecting incredible results, but buying a gym membership and living at the gym. You will see the results. And so that's the success that we see from the guys that we work with.
Dude, that's awesome. And that's it. Like, I'm in the group too, guys. And like, I see the impact that Brandon's having on a daily basis, and it is life changing. So Brandon, what would be the best way for contractors to connect with you and start your growth journey or start their growth journey?
Well, the best way to connect with me, as weird as it might seem, is to drop into my DMs on Instagram. I mean, you can text me and stuff, but drop it in my DMs. We've talked about systems and processes on this call and how everything's optimized. Well, I have one. Okay. If you drop into my DMs, I promise you there is a team of people in there, not always me. There's a team of people that are trained and organized to help bring you potentially into our community, but you need to be willing to invest in yourself. And if you're not willing to invest in yourself, then I mean, you got to take a closer look at, is what you've been doing working? Like, yeah. Is that going to, are you just going to continue to do it like the other guy for 20 years? Or are you going to actually say, this is not freaking working. I need to do something different. And then you drop into my DMs. You can even DM me and say, Dan. You can say, Dan, heard you on this podcast, looking at leveling up my business. Where do we start? Like, don't worry about how much it costs. Don't worry about how long is it. Don't worry about what we do. I promise you that when you start with me, it will look much different than when you finish with me, and you will never finish with me because you're my customer for life. So at the underscore contractor coach on Instagram, you'll see my pretty face there. I'm just kidding. But you'll see all the success stories. You'll see, if you just scroll through my content for hours, you'll see everybody that's winning. And I mean, you could be the next guy.
That's awesome. And I'll link all this down in the description too for this episode. So just scroll down and grab it and grab a time slot with him or DM him. And that's what I was, Brandon, I was going to ask you one big takeaway that you'd want people to have from this podcast, but I think your big takeaway should be go book a call with Brandon and start talking to him and see how he can help.
The takeaway is quit thinking it's working for you, because it's probably not. If you're on the dock, like the guy fishing, and has been doing it for like 5 or 10 or 20 years, and you're like, I think I'm making money, but I got a job and I've been struggling for X amount of time. Stop and try something different. I promise you, it'll change your life.
100%. So guys, apply that change today or that takeaway and DM Brandon and get talking to him. Brandon, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a fantastic episode, and this is our first episode too. So thank you for being our first guest, and thank you so much for your time today.
No problem, man. I appreciate you, Dan.
All right. Thank you, and I'll talk to you guys soon.